This message entitled Involvement Can Prove to Be Expensive was delivered to Christ the Rock Bible Church on December 19th, 2021 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. This scripture reference is Luke 2, 1-7.
This is Psalms 18, 1-3. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And I just want to say that God is my strength. He gives me grace to go through all the hard things in life. I love him. I could not do anything without him. Every breath I have comes from him. And I would just praise the Lord. I love him.
John 3:17. For God sent not his Son unto the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Yes, our Lord God has sent his Son to help save the world. And if more people would look towards this and see what the Lord has said, we understand that we need to look more towards him than each other.
Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace, and for the truth, dear God, that all of these things lend themselves to. All these things make it possible for these things to be heard. We can use candles, we can use the flame that is on the candles, lights on a tree. There's so many things, and even today with the J-shaped candy canes, it all points to a very great Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, we praise you, Lord. And we thank you for your love that comes to us in Jesus and through Jesus. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, and unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Father, we do lift up your holy name. We do thank you, dear God, because your word is so very true. We don't have to debate it. We don't have to come up with our own understanding on these things. We don't have to try to promote it. It's right there. There it is. This is all about Jesus. This is all about God's love. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. And we do pray, dear God, that your truth will venture forth into our hearts, into our understanding, so that we can go from this place and share with others the truth of your holy word. We thank you, we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm sure throughout the years, at different times, different places, different understandings of what life is all about and what life means and what it says clearly. We do live in a culture that is quite reluctant to get involved. We oftentimes, and I speak for the whole world when I say these things, but we oftentimes will leave well enough alone. We steer clear of messy, complicated interaction with others. We mind our own business sometimes and keep to ourselves, even those of us who go by the name of Christian. Now, God is trying to direct us in a different direction than that, praise God. And he can do it. If anybody can do it, he can do it. I guess we're kind of like the fellow that was on the bus who refused to tell another passenger what time it was when he was asked. After being asked several times, he turned his back and the young man went on and asked somebody else, "What time is it?" At the next stop, someone who had seen the exchange of this conversation scolded the man, and this was his rationale. What time it was to this young man that was asking, we would have struck up a conversation, probably would have liked him. Before long, he would have gotten himself invited to supper, and my beautiful daughter would have met him. The two of them probably would have fallen in love and want to get married. But I don't really want my daughter marrying somebody who can't afford a watch. We intuitively know that involvement can prove expensive. So we sometimes will have a tendency to shut ourselves off in the name of caution. The only problem is we are commanded to love each other. In fact, the mark of a Christian is the love that we have for one another. It is almost impossible for someone who has experienced the love and the grace of God to live in isolation. But some of us still do a pretty good job with it. Instead of hiding, we oftentimes want to get out of our comfort zone and reach out to those, praise God, in our circle of influence with the love of Christ. That is the direction that God wants to take us. That is the direction that God wanted to take Mary and Joseph as they decided that they were going to listen to him and him alone. They started the journey and away they went down to Bethlehem. It can be dangerous as well. But the only place, now listen to this, the only place outside of heaven where we can be safe from all the dangers of love is hell. Now hear that again. The only place outside of heaven where we can be safe from all of the dangers of love is hell. We think of trips, we think of vacations, we think of cruises and how expensive these all can be. They're advertised a lot of times as being very inexpensive. It's only a few $100 a person for the 7-day cruise or vacation or whatever. But I don't know if there is anything, any activity really, that is more expensive than this trek to Bethlehem. The journey took everything out of Mary and Joseph. It took their everything to make that journey. Their energy, their strength, their desire, their will, and their surrender. Show you what I mean. Look at Luke chapter 2, first few verses. And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Now you have to recognize that the word tax covers a bunch of things. Some of the newer translations will say that they were enrolled or they were registered. Part of this tax was to set up a new tax, okay? And it's not what anybody wanted. Nobody wanted to have a new tax. This was a new one. So they're finding out where everybody lives. It's kind of like a census, okay? And they're writing it all in books and keeping a log of the whole thing. They all went to be taxed. Everyone into his own city. So the end result of this registration is a tax, but it's not just a tax. Now the government, now really Rome, is going to know where everybody lives. There are people today that object to that when it comes to the census. Happens every 10 years. You know, why should I tell them where I am? Why should it be, you know, me that has to find them, in a sense, you know, let them find me. You know, well, that's what they're trying to do when they get you to sign up for this new census, this new registration, okay? But Joseph, he also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now, that's a journey, and it's about 90 miles away, so it's going to take some time. You don't just get there overnight. And it's all because he was of the house and lineage of David. He knew that he was, in a sense, the king's son, David's son, not directly next generation's son, but of the family, okay? Because he was of the house and lineage of David. And he was glad for that. He wasn't trying to hide it. He wasn't trying to get out of anything here, okay? Now, I'm going to show you something here that may not be in your Bible. This is the King James. And it has a colon, all right, after the lineage of David. And then right after the colon, it's got a parenthesis, okay? And if you look at it sideways, it's a big smile. You see that? And people use that kind of stuff. I don't keep track of that kind of thing. I know it's here, but there's all kinds of different typing that you can do and turn things sideways. And, you know, you can come up with all kinds of little cutesy things with this. But here it is, right in the Bible, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, colon, parentheses. And as I said, if you look at it sideways, it's a smile. Turns out Joseph and Mary were not trying to get out of it. They didn't ask for an exemption. They didn't try to say, well, listen, you know, she's like 8.5 months pregnant here. You know, how can we travel this distance? You know, maybe we can just do a, you know, we'll sign a paper or something. You know, even that probably wouldn't even have done. They had to go, and they wanted to go. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so, by the way, when it says espoused wife, let's be clear about this. They were married. This was a husband-wife situation. But they were not officially married. We tend to look at, okay, they were engaged. But it was bigger than that, and it was deeper than that, okay? But they purposely, were holding off on being together, being intimate with each other, and so forth. It was like an engagement to us in our way of thinking. It would be like an engagement. But technically, from the scriptures, she was his wife and he was her husband. It says that repeatedly through the whole story of Christmas. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. I think I probably have the definition for that espousal. Yeah, here it is. To be given, to be engaged, to be present. Okay? But it's as serious. You would have, if you wanted to end this thing, you would have to do a divorce. And that's what Joseph was thinking about, that might be the easiest way or safest way to keep her safe, was to go ahead and privily, secretly divorce her. Well, God had another idea, praise God, and found a way for them to be together. Praise the Lord. But to be taxed with Mary, so the two of them are both going there to be registered and to pay a tax. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. It took everything they had and everything God had, if I could put it that way, a life lived in the center of God's will and God's word. Whatever God says, there it is. Remember what she said at the very beginning of all of this? You know, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me. Whatever you say, God, I'll do it. Praise the name of Jesus. It was all through the scriptures. It was pointed to from the Old Testament. It was made clear in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. So the question is, how do you read the Bible? How do you see it? How do you understand it? Okay, because clearly it makes it clear that they are intending to be together. Praise the Lord. It says in Luke chapter 10, verse 26, how readest thou? Remember, that's when Jesus was saying, you know, how do you read the scripture? How do you see it? What does it mean to you? Okay, how readest thou? And Revelation 1, verse 3 says, blessed is he that readeth. Praise God. Each must judge for himself what best meets his need. Many holy men of God have found blessing. They have found food for their souls in this book we call the Bible, a power of life and service as they have read right through the scriptures within a short period of time. Praise God. Others, again, have stilled their hunger by giving themselves a prolonged, deep meditation of shorter passages of the Word of God. From personal experience, I know I'm convinced that through reading and assimilation of the Word of God, that's an infinitely greater value than a superficial picking up a promised scripture here or there. You're not going to get through the whole Bible doing that, by the way. You know, you'll get through maybe a piece of it or a third of it or something. You know, if you just pick the what people call a promised scripture, you're not seeing the context. You're not really going through verse by verse and see the stories develop and what comes next and what came before. And you're not going to be seeing those things. Haphazard turning to single verses. Genuine hard work at conquering difficult passages always brings its reward in both fruit and in blessing. The one great essential is always that we should, whenever possible, find some practical expression in our lives for that which we have read, so that we become doers and not just hearers or speakers of the word. The scripture revelation of the will of God must be the plumb line for our actions and the guiding star of our lives. Every question, great or small, must be settled in the light of the word of God. And every circumstance of our lives finds its interpretation right there. Sister Ava suggests this understanding, and it's clear from the scriptures. And I've told you many times that, you know, when we get down to the December, I start suggesting that you find a way to read through the scripture. You know, Jason, Kara, Joel, Cindy's sister Kathy, and me, we've been going through those cards that we made with a small devotional on each one, some scripture on each one, and then the suggestion to read anywhere from 1 to 4 chapters a day. And if you go through if you do that, you will have gone through the Bible in a year. Cindy and I have been doing that for years and years and years. I'll bet 20, at least probably 30 years. We've probably more than that. We've been doing that. And so we did that, and we were doing it. And it's getting close to the end. I think I'm just going to keep doing it from that. And so I have that little devotional to read along with it and the scriptures and so forth. I think we even have a copy, by the way. Remember those were the little devotionals that we put on cards and color-coded? You know, the best ones were the pink ones. And they, that's a joke, by the way. That's what the kids all said, the pink ones. They were the worst. Right, Joel? Mm-hmm. Okay. And, of course, those were mine. They're a little bit prejudiced. But anyway, you know, but you can do it any number of ways. Every cell phone, you know, has plans that you can insert in there and you can have in there and you can read through anywhere from 3 to 4. Some, in some cases, it was only, you know, 1 or 2 verses, but you can get through the whole Bible in 1 year. And that's not to rush it. Nobody's saying, you know, I mean, you can take 5 years to do it if you want, but you need to see the context. You need to see how the stories figure in and how they line up, and not just, you know, promise scripture, promise scripture, promise scripture. I mean, you can do that, but there needs to be the wholeness of, you know, the whole thing put together so you can see how it all fits, praise the Lord, together. All right? So I reserve December for reminding you of that and suggesting that you find some way to do that. But I think I have a copy printed up on paper of that same thing. I'm pretty sure we have one copy of that, so if anybody wants to try using that. Now, you won't have the little cards, but it's all there, and I don't know if I can find it, but I could look for you if you'd like. I supposed I knew my Bible. Amos R. Wells said that. I supposed I knew my Bible. Reading piecemeal, hit or miss. Now a bit of John, a little bit of Matthew, now a snatch of Genesis. But I found that thorough reading was a different thing to do, and the way was unfamiliar. When I read the Bible through, we who like to scan the Bible, dip and dabble here and there, and you can do that, but I'm saying you're not going to get how this all fits together if you don't take one step at a time. You can do both, really. Just before we kneel, a weary and yawn through a hurried prayer, try a worthier procedure. Try a broad, steady view. We will kneel in very rapture when we read the Bible through. Amos Wells. Praise God. Every December, I challenge people with that. There might be a number of you doing it. I don't keep track of it and try to keep picking and so forth. But I'm just suggesting it. It's a good idea. I've done it for a long time. In fact, over this past year, when I had the box, now I didn't take the box with me everywhere I went. I pulled out the cards and used them. But I oftentimes would go to the cemetery and just sit and share for my own hearing. And listen, if God wants Cindy or Cheryl or anybody else to hear it, God, there's nothing impossible for God. God can do it. And I'm not saying he does. I'm simply saying God could do that. So I share it. That's my part. I share it. And I either play it on the Bible program on the handheld, you know, gizzy, most every day. If God wants her to hear it, she will. And I mean, she's right there in his very arms, and he hears everything we say. So, you know, if he wants her to hear it, that's an easy thing for him to do. I'm not saying that's what he does. I'm simply saying I just prefer to think that God can do all things. Hallelujah. So that's one way that I do it. Not every day, not every time, but that's the way I do it. Praise God. We kneel in very rapture when we read the Bible through, Amos Wells said. Yes, it's true. Involvement can prove very expensive. It's going to take your focus. It's going to take your concentration. It's going to take time. Praise the Lord. Look at their text again. Look at both 6 and 7. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room. So they end up giving birth in a pasture, and maybe even in a cattle stall. We don't know exactly. And the largest price tag of all, I am absolutely sure, the entire event was bathed in prayer. I'm talking about when they decided to go down, when God said it was time to go, when they set out on foot or on donkey or however they did it. I'm telling you, it had to have been bathed in prayer. There's no doubt about that. Praise the Lord, it had to be. I'm absolutely sure of this entire event. Every step they took, every place they stopped to rest, every was bathed in prayer. It says in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13, it says, "And great shall be the peace of thy children. But thou hast called me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel." Isaiah 43, verse 22. How many professing Christians suffer from fears and trials and temptations and irritabilities that would be needless if they just spend time with God in prayer, in the Word, with Him? God gives a calm trust. And see, that's what Christmas was all about. Were they going to listen to God on this, or were they going to insist on their own way? Well, you know what they did. They listened to God. Praise the Lord. And God is the one who gives the calm trust and other special delights to those who pray. I mean, look at the way God handled the whole thing throughout. They decide to go, and God makes it clear they made the right choice. And yeah, they're going to be taxed, and nobody likes to be taxed. Nobody likes any of that. But, you know, but so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She should be delivered. It was time to have that baby. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. Right down to the very end of their traveling experience, they find out there's no place for them to go. The whole thing had to be bathed in prayer. It had to be. Because they kept going. You know? No place for them to rest, no place for them to sleep. And then evidently somebody had a, you know, spare pasture or something. And you know, so they spent time out there. Many of us could trace the cause of our restlessness and our worry to the same difficulty as the little girl in this story. Listen to this. One night, the mother of two little girls was away at bedtime. So the kids are there, no other people watching over them, but it's the mother that normally sat down with them and led them through in the prayer. And they were left to do as they would. "I'm not going to pray tonight," said Lillian when she was ready for bed. "Why, Lillian," exclaimed her sister Amy with big round eyes of astonishment. "I don't care. I'm not going to. There isn't any use in it." So she tumbled into bed while Amy knelt and prayed. The little prayer finished and light extinguished, and Amy crept into bed. There was a long silence, and then Lillian began to turn restlessly, giving her pillow a vigorous thump and saying rather crossly, "I wonder what is the matter with this pillow." Then came a sweet little voice from Amy's side. "I guess it's because there isn't any prayer in it." A few minutes more of restlessness, and Lillian was out of bed, kneeling in prayer. Then all was quiet, all was peaceful, and the two little girls slept. Dear child of God, is there a prayer in your pillow when you go to sleep at night? Dr. William Sadler said, "Prayer is a safety valve for the mind and for the soul. If Christianity were practically applied to our everyday life, it would so purify and vitalize the race that at least one half of the sickness and sorrow would disappear." William Walford, he put it this way, and it's in your hymn book. Sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Oh, dear Lord, praise the name of Jesus. I'm sure that event of some 2,000 years ago was bathed in prayer, because involvement can prove rather expensive. Involvement in the plan of God certainly proves expensive, but more than worth it. Praise the name of Jesus. More than worth it. Glory be to God. We thank you, Lord. And Father, I just truly want us to enter into all that you have for us and all that you want, dear God, for us to come through and go through and be committed, dear God, to you. It's got to come from a heart that loves you, and it's got to come from a heart that loves us, namely yours. And it does. Praise the Lord, it does. Involvement can prove quite expensive, but well worth it. Praise the name of Jesus. Well worth it. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We give you all the glory, dear God. You are the one to hold to. You are the one to always see. You are the one to look straight into the center of your heart and will. You are a caring God, a loving God, and that is proven, absolutely proven, in Christmas. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God.